Good morning. This is Cyril Stevens again, saying hello. It's so good to meet with you. It's so good to spend time with you. It's so wonderful to know that our God is on his throne, and no matter what people say, he's not going to be dethroned. And so, I just come in front of you today. We've had a few upsets here because I've been very unwell. I'm trying to cope with everything that I do. The Lord is going to be my strength in the next few months or weeks or years, who knows. The Lord will just gather us and move us along. That being said, I want to share with you some of the most remarkable things that Jesus ever said. Now, I don't want to get into a great discussion of theology or something like that, but I do want to get into the reminding of your heart and my own of the love of God, because the love of God is greater far than any tongue or pen can show. And it reaches from the highest star. Think of that. The love of God reaches from the highest star and reaches down to the lowest depth. I don't know how low the depth is that the psalmist was talking about, and I don't know how high the height the poet was talking about. All I know is that God has covered us with a mighty movement of his sincere grace. And the grace of God, which passes all understanding and reaches far beyond anything we can tell, this beautiful, wonderful, terrific Lord Jesus is with us when we trust him. Now let's turn our attention for a few minutes at some of the things that Jesus said. And these things are tremendously important simply because Jesus said them and no other reason. For instance, Jesus said, "I am the shepherd, the good." Now, you've always heard it, "I am the good shepherd." But if you go and study the language, you hear the writer, and he is saying, Jesus said, "I am the shepherd, the good." He wanted people to know that he was the shepherd that was better than they had imagined, and he was the good shepherd. We interpret that sometimes and we say, God is a good shepherd. No, not necessarily. God is good, period. Goodness flows from the throne of grace. Goodness is full of the love of God. The goodness of God is upon us no matter how we express ourselves or how we come to know the things of God. You may have an experience that will bring you to a place where you will lay in front of the Lord and simply say, "My Lord and my God," just as Timothy did years before. And you may cry out, "Woe is me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips and an impure heart. There's something perverted deep down inside of me. There is something kinked somewhere in my psyche, and I simply cannot deal with it." My dear friend, Jesus is the shepherd, the good one, and he will reach down inside of you, and he will reach down and reach you. And he will reach so far down that you'll understand yourself, you'll understand him, and that you will repent and that you will believe in him and that you will trust him wholly. Then there's another thing that Jesus calls himself. He says, if you're hungry, come to me and I will feed you. I am, said Jesus, the bread of life. Now this I am business is really very powerful because Jesus is completely empowered and he is I am. He is the great I am. He is the mighty I am. There is no one like him. He is the I am. My dad used to say something like this to me as we traveled to and from church on a Sunday. He would say, Jesus is I am. And that is a contradiction in understanding the lingo of the day in which we live. The Lord Jesus, my dad would say, is always the same. Yesterday, today, forever. If I would say to him, well, I don't understand that. He said, that's because you've not lived forever. But Jesus has. Jesus is. Jesus will. Trust him and you'll find he is your saviour. So there is sort of a map, if you like, for understanding the things of God. Will you understand? Will you take into hand? Will you just simply trust him? Jesus needs to be trusted. And there are so many things to trust him for. One of the things we seem to talk about is to trust in Jesus means quite simply to put our trust in him to get something instead of trust him. You don't have to get something to trust someone. You just trust them. You have to trust them. Trust them. So we come to a place where we have to learn that lesson. It is entirely possible that though you know about the Lord Jesus, you're not trusting him. There's a third I am that Jesus uses, and he talks about this. All of these, of course, are abbreviated so that I can poke it into your minds and into your hearts a little bit. But the Lord Jesus is constantly concerned that you and I understand where we're going. And so Jesus said to his disciples, I am, listen to this now, the light of the world. Now here's the thing. To be the light of the world is to know that the world is sitting in darkness. And as the world sits in darkness, it doesn't understand its own situation. It's a curious thing. Many things don't understand where they are. They don't know their own situation any more than a person does when he knows he's in darkness, but he doesn't always put the word there. And he doesn't always admit that the darkness has overwhelmed him, the darkness has deceived him, why the darkness has come to take up residence in his life. And Jesus said, what you need is an illumination. And the illumination that I give, I am the light of the world. You can eat me as bread. Now you can see me as light. How interesting. the Lord Jesus reveals himself as the light of the world. How interesting. He penetrates the darkness in which we live. He penetrates the darkness that we have become so deceived by. We have accepted the darkness. But that's not acceptable to God, and it's not acceptable to man. And God has given us the Lord Jesus Christ so that he may lift us up and that he may put our feet upon a solid rock. One time a big storm came in and I was stuck on the side of a mountain. And the storm came in and it rained and it bellowed and it shook. And the storm came and it made a terrible noise of thunder and a frightening flash of lightning and all those things that take place in a storm. To be truthful, the whole situation was fairly frightening. And yet, Jesus had said and Jesus was saying, I'm the light of the world. Now you trust me. You come and trust me. I'm the light of the world. You come closer and I will show you the power of the light of the world. And God never fails. When you come to him, maybe in fear, maybe with questions, maybe with confusion, it doesn't matter how you come. If you come to him, he will in no wise send you away. He will keep you. He will undertake for you. And he will show you the next step. I remember on that mountain, I wasn't the most stolid sort of fellow. I was shoved against some rocks. And would I be like Elijah and would I find a cave? Would I hear the rocks rumble and would I see them break away and fall down? How would I read? How would I understand? How would I comprehend this enormous experience that I was having with God alone? And it was as if God said, shush, you know, I am. I am. I am the one who looks after you. I am the one who never leaves you. I am the one who, with great love, comes closer, closer, closer to your need. And if you will allow me and trust me, you will find that need met. And I confess that that day I needed some help. And it was the Lord that helped me. It was the Lord that led me. It was the Lord that undertook for me. And it was the Lord who just made me strong enough to believe that he is God and to believe that he is mighty God. If you read in the scriptures, read especially Leviticus, for instance, you will hear over and over how it is that the Lord Jesus is always loving us and always keeping us and always undertaking for us. And always he is called, I am the Lord. God, for some reason, wanted to impress the children of Israel and he wanted them to understand that I am God. I understand that I am the God. Understand that I am the God that never leaves you. Understand that I knew you before the foundation of the world. Understand that there is nothing hidden that should not be hidden, because I know the beginning from the end. Now, it's important that you and I come closer together and understand constantly how it is that God is always looking after us. Always. I had a brother. He wasn't my favorite friend. I wish he had been, but he wasn't. And we were always squabbling over this, that, and the other. And it was a very sad relationship in the sense that we didn't understand each other at all. He was good and good-looking and nice, comfortable to be around, a bit of a comedian. He was tremendous chap. Now, I wish I could introduce him to you. But my brother didn't settle in, and he didn't come to that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ like so many others did. And so he suffered a great deal. And when death came knocking on his door, he was not prepared. He was not at all prepared. But the Lord Jesus loved him, and he was the light to that young man, and would have been more light to that young man had the young man responded. Well, now I want to change direction. And we may have to go on next time we get together. I would like to spend a little extra time talking about the I am the resurrection and the life. It's important that we understand this piece of scripture, because it just causes us to resound with the blessings of God. It's important that you and I have a relationship with the Lord that understands what resurrection is. And God has said, I am the resurrection. Now, this is through the Lord Jesus. And it's through the Lord Jesus who says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man can come to God but by me. And the beauty of this part of understanding God is to know that God is on his throne. I'm going to say to you that the Bible teaches that we are resurrected. Now, the Lord Jesus says, if we trust him, we shall never die. And that's a curious thing, because death has already taken place. And if our bodies die, surely we have died. And the answer to that is simply this, that God has said through the Lord Jesus that you will not die because you are trusting me, and I give life. Now, I am the light of the world, which is the most remarkable illumination the world has ever discovered. I don't know how to explain this at all, but the Lord Jesus has said, I have given you a light that will give you a joy, and I have given you a joy that is given to you through the door, and I have given you the door so that it may open and you will be able to possess the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Jesus wants us to enjoy our lives. And the more I read the scripture, the more powerful it becomes. The more I read it and understand some of it, I find myself in a position of knowing in whom I am believing. Because he has said, I will give you life. And his life that he gives will be immortal, invisible. It will last forever. So now we come to this place where Jesus is resurrection. If you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have resurrection. Oh, sure, your body may be laid down, and that's not the most beautiful thing you'll ever do in your life, and it's not the easiest thing to do in your life. For instance, you may be absolutely shattered and can't deal with the fact that you're going to close your eyes and not open them until you're in eternity. And when you open them in eternity, you'll have discovered that in the twinkling of an eye, which is a shattering piece of time, it's so short and so minute, you somehow changed, and your body changed, and your body altered, and God has changed your body forever and forever and forever. And I have to bring in front of you now a closing thought that your body will not die. Oh, you say, how can you say that? The doctor pronounces that we are dead, so we are dead. Dreadful things happen, calamities take place, and we die. No, God has said, if you're trusting me, God has said, if you're putting your faith in me, God has said, if you will love me, put your faith in me, and hold on to me, you're not going to die. You're just going to change course. Your body will alter. You will go into a new sort of chrysalistic stage. And whilst you're in that stage, which is milliseconds, you will change, but you will not die. You will not die for one reason. God has said, you will not die. No one else has to say it. God has said it. And it's true. We won't die. That ought to bring all of us Christians to the place where they were jogging along the pathway or thinking about things at the desk. Or maybe we're just sort of looking out into the yard, the garden, and all the beautiful things around us. God said, you will not die. Believe me. Believe that. It's a fact. Believe it. For he says, I will keep you. I will never forsake you. I will never lie to you. And I will come to you. Well, we've run out of time. So I ask you to pray. Let's do that. Lord, we don't know the length of our lives. We don't know how long we shall live in this world. But we do know that you never change. And the great I am is Jesus. And the great I am is close. Oh, how precious. Oh, how great. Will you bless us all now and keep us all in that place where you can use us? God bless us now for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you for listening. The Lord bless you. Yeah. Bye-bye.